Okay, so we're holding on minimum and base four lines from the end of the fourth line from the end of the narrow line. Mishnah said, "Sure, it's the dinani chayiv mistapholer, that a sure that's used in the stadiums, like for bullfights or whatever, even if it ends up killing people, even if it kills people over there, is potter from mitzvah. You don't give it to skila like you would to a regular sure that kills, because ki yigachol, and even gores on its own." The Mishnah said, "Lo shiyegichuhu, not that they make it gore by racing it on or whatever." So,
because the
pasuk says ki yigach, it gores, meaning on its own. Yeah. So now the Chachamim had a question. What about, what would be the din? Would such a shur be kosher to bring as a korban? Rav am a kosher or Shmuel am a pasuk? Rav am a kosher because onusu. Even though it's true, normally, as we're going to bring a braisa in a minute, a shur that kills the person, even in a case where it's not chayav skila, is usually possible for a korban. But in this case, where it was trained for the istadin, for the stadium over there, Rav would argue it's an onus, so therefore you can't consider that it should be possible. Or Shmuel on the apostle, had it never by Avera. The fact of the matter is, an Avera was done with it, therefore it should be possible. Okay. Versus Maitzvi, I have a contradiction from a Braisa. We'll quote the whole Braisa, and then we'll analyze it and figure out that the Braisa seems on the face of it to be saying that it's possible for a korban, which would be a question on Rav. So, the Pasuk said, now, the Pasuk, when it introduces the concept of Korbanus in Parshas Vayikra, it starts off by saying that the Odom Kiyakim Kem Korban Lashem, Min HaBehema, Min HaBakar, U Min HaTzor. Each of the words, each of those, you have Min HaBehema, from the animals, Min HaBakar, and Min HaTzor. Each of those min means from. Therefore, it's meal. It means Min HaBehema, but not all behemoths. Min HaBakar, but not all bakar, etc. So, Mina behema lahoti as a revea besamim. But the word mina behema, the min over there, comes to exclude that you cannot use as a korban an animal that was revea or nirba, that was used for bestiality, whether it was the active or the passive partner in it. Mina bakar lahoti as an, and it doesn't, it, now, the Torah says that when that's done, when bestiality is done with an animal, then the animal is killed. And we're talking about lav dafka, the aid in Bahasra. So not necessarily, there may have only been one aid or whatever. So therefore, that's enough to make it possible for a korban, but not enough to make it be killed by Beis Din. Min ha-bakar lahoytiyas ha-neva. The word min ha-bakar comes to exclude an animal that was worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Min ha-tzoyin lahoytiyas ha-mukta. The min from min ha-tzoyin comes to exclude also that you cannot bring as a korban an animal that is mukta, that was designated as a korban for Avodah Zarah. In the Sefer Temura, the Gemara discusses a little bit what exactly is it enough of verbal declaration? Do you actually do something to the animal? Whatever. The point is, there is such a concept. And when it says umin hatsoin, the vav of umin hatsoin is one more lahoitiyas and negeach, comes to exclude that you cannot bring as a korban an animal that gored a person and killed it. Which again, all these, again, not in a case where it would be chayiv skila, but again, you know, there's no aiding, etc. There's only one aid, etc. And the Braith continues, Omer of Shimon, Im Nemer Reveah, Loma Nemer Negeach, Im Nemer Negeach, Loma Nemer Reveah. Why do we need Psukim? Why do we need separate Limudim for Reveah and for Negeach? On the face of it, couldn't we learn one from the other?
No.
Well, that's the point. We can't, because each one has a chiddush of its own. The point of his question was both of them we find a chayiv mitzvah, because Eid and Basra. So you would think they're on an equal level, but he's going to point out each of them has a feature that the other one doesn't have. Namely, Reveya also by Onis Kerotzen. This is the key thing. This is why we bring, no, actually not Reveya, but Negeach. Reveya also by Onis Kerotzen. When it comes to Reveya, there's no difference whether it was an Onis or a Rotzen involved with the animal. Which means, Rashi says, now, Tosfos points out, if it's Reveya on the face of it, ain't Tishri a little das. The same way as we say by a person, the man, there's no such thing as an Onis, because necessarily he won't have a Tishri without das. There's a similar concept with an animal. So how are we saying Reveya, there could be a possibility of oinus? So fine, but it has a das of its own, whatever. It has, you know, enough das to be able to be Reveya. Okay, Tosfos finds a way, let's say, for example, you had that the animal was getting ready to mate with its partner, with a cow or whatever, and then a woman grabbed a hold of it, and so. On the other hand, Rashi says more straightforwardly. We're not really talking about Reveya so much. We're talking about Nirba. Nirba, when the animal is a passive partner in bestiality, that could just as well be bonus as Berotzen. And the animal is not there, and yet we find the Torah says that's a behemoth pyrogu.
That includes Reveya by another animal.
No, no, we're talking about between people and animals. Or yeah. No, obviously, if one animal is reveille another animal, that's the normal thing for it to do, yeah.
No.
Oh, you mean a different species?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, it's also for the farmer to do that. But the animal is not high skiller for that now.
With this,
that's what
I thought.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Okay.
The behemoth needs
that for that. No, well, not the behemoth needs that, right, okay.
you know,
come on. Okay, so reveille also oibo onus to rotsin. When it comes to reveille or nearbo, whatever, there's no difference between onus and rotsin. On the other hand, and here's the key thing, this is why we're bringing in this braisa, negeach loy also about onus to rotsin. On the other hand, when it comes to an animal that gores, onus and rotsin are not the same thing. So when it's berotsin,
when it's the same.
Because again, sheyigach loy sheyigachu. Well, that's what we're gonna, yeah, okay. We're gonna figure out in a minute what this means. So therefore, there is a certain chumrah in reveya over negeach, because reveya, even if it's ba'onis, the animal is still going to get skila. Negeach not, because again, as we said in our Mishnah, if the animal was ba'onis, shiyagichuhu, they made it, they trained it to then it's potter. On the other hand, negeach mashalam kofer, reveya ain't a mashalam as a kofer. On the other hand, there's a chumrah in an animal that gores, because when it gores and kills and becomes a muad, when it did it three times, the owner is going to have to pay kofer. With reveya, there's never a case of paying kofer. We're going to discuss soon. The Gemara is going to talk about why you would think that you'd pay kofer in the case of reveya. Anyway, we'll get to that soon. The point is that there is a chumra in negeach, so therefore the fichah chutzrach lemer reveya, but chutzrach lemer negeach. Therefore, Reb Shimon says that is why we taka needed separate nemudim for reveya and negeach. If the Torah had only told us one, we couldn't have learned the other ones from it.
Because
one has kofer, but the other one is onus kerot. So, Katonim, yes, Reveya also by Onus Kerotzin, Negeach Loi also by Onus Kerotzin. So, okay, Reb Shimon is saying, and the Pashas, the Chachamim are not disagreeing with him on this, that when it comes to Negeach, Onus and Rotzin are different. Lamai Hirsa, now, what would that be relevant to? Lav La Korban, Lachura, it would be as far as a Korban. So actually, no, I was wrong, right? I said the question was on Rav. No, the question is on Shmuel, rather. The question is on Shmuel. Shmuel is saying, regardless whether it was Onus or Rotzin, the animal is possible for a Korban. Based on this braisa, it sounds like he is kosher. The answer is lo yiluktala. No, that's not necessarily. The braisa may mean that when it comes to killing the animal, when it comes to if there were edim, again, if there were edim basra, the whole, and the animal was morad, not morad, actually, that applies to a tam as well, whatever, if there was everything that was necessary, the animal would get skila. And we're saying that onus is not kirotin. If the animal is a shorah ixtidin, then it doesn't get misa. Whereas with reveya, there's no difference. Again, reveya or nirba, the case may be, there's no difference between onus and rotsin either way if they were eating bahasra or then yet. So Shmuel could argue the braisa is not telling us, the braisa is not discussing the question of whether, the braisa is not discussing the question whether the animal is kosher for a korban or not. Maybe indeed it is possible for a korban, even if it was onus. All the braisa is saying is when it comes to misa, there's a difference between onus and rotsin, as opposed to reveya. That's how Shmuel could explain the braisa. And in fact, the Gemara says, "Hachinami b'staber." In fact, it seems logical to explain the braisa that way, that it's not talking about a korban, but rather about misa. D'iyam of the korban, because if you're going to say it's talking about the fitness of the animal as a korban, negeach, what do you mean, negeach lo osu ba'onis kerotzen? What do you mean when it comes to negeach, the Torah does not distinguish between onus and rotzen? Lav onus didekziv, lav rotzen didekziv. When it comes to the psul of a korban, all it is the pasuk is saying, uminat zoin, lahotzias and negeach. There's nothing in the pasuk there that says onus or rotzen. No, but the braisa is saying also by onus kerotin, or loy also by onus kerotin. In other words, by reveya, when we say reveya also by onus kerotin, in other words, the Torah spells out that of a man who's reveya an animal, the animal is executed. A woman who's near but from an animal, the animal is executed. So we see there, the Torah clearly spells out that whether there was onus or rotin, and yeah. As opposed to, and negeach also, when it comes to misa, the Torah spells out, because that's kiyigach, and we learn from that. How would you prove from that as far as its fitness for a korban? The point is, when the Torah says uminatzon lahitzias negeach, there's nothing there that says whether it's onus or rotz. You can't say the Rishon can't be saying, you know what Torah makes. The Torah does not make onus like rotz. The Torah never said specifically that an animal that negeach the rotz is possible either. All we learned it from is from the limud from uminatzon. El alav l'ktala. So evidently we must be talking about as far as misa. Therefore, you don't really have a proof one way or the other from this braisa about the fitness of the animal for a korban. It may well be possible for a korban. The braisa is not dealing with that detail. Omar, so now going back to the Braita, we said Negeach Mashalam Asakofer, Reveya Eid Mashalam Asakofer. We said that if the animal gores, then when it becomes a Muad, you pay Kofer, but if it's Reveya, you do not. So, Hey Chidame, what's the scenario that we're talking about over here where you would think to where you think that there'd be Kofer involved in Reveya? Elim the Rav of a Katla, are you talking about that the animal was Reveya, a woman, and then she died from the injuries from it? Well then, of course the owner of the animal would be chayav. Mali kopla b'kana, mali kopla b'reviya. L'chora, what's the difference? I mean, either way, if the animal kills somebody with his horns and he does it 3 times and he's chayav in kofer, yeah, the animal is bored to be reveya women and then do yeah. The el of the rov of loy kopla. You're going to say that he was reveya and didn't kill her? Hi, the loy mishalam kofer, mishalam loy kopla. Well, fine, of course he doesn't take kofer. There was no killing. Rabbiya La'ulam the Rav of Laitan. Well, Rabbi says, yes, you could be talking about that the animal was Reveya, a woman, didn't kill her thereby, but that's you, a Lebed Dinner for Katlua. But the scenario is over here that, let's say now she was the active one, she's the one who made the animal do Reveya with her, so therefore, again, in Eidim Bahasra, then she gets brought to base, then she gets executed, and the Pasuk says about Sabahema Tadra, that in that case, the animal was supposed to get, she gets Mitha, she gets Skila, and so does the animal. So, but the point is, she ends up getting killed via this animal. Maur de Tema, command a couple of dummies, you would think, maybe then, effectively, we should consider that, we should effectively consider as if the Shur killed her, it's sort of it killed her indirectly. Not, and therefore you would think maybe there's Kofer. Okay, Tosfos points out, I mean, if she brought the animal to do it, then why would we even think? I mean, it should be the same way as Shiyagishuhu, the same way we said as a Shura, it's the genus Potter, by the same logic over here, it should be Potter. So Tosfos discusses the possibilities over here that let's say, so fine, she didn't start out actively trying to get the Shura to do it. The Shura jumped on her, but then she kind of went along with it. So the Gemara discusses in we learned from Ksubas about the possibility if a case starts out where it starts out onus and eventually it's berotzen, we say she's potter. It's called Yetzer Albasha, that once already she's involved in the act, then it's an onus pretty much to stay away from it. But over here, at least there was rotzen at the beginning. Other Rishonim give different other answers, including there might be a difference anyway. When we say Yetzer Albasha, that leniency over there might only apply when it's a person, not when it's an animal.
Albasha,
literally, the Yetzer has enclosed her. Like once a person is involved in Bia, it's very hard to pull away. But okay. Anyway, the point is, Kamash Malan, therefore the Braisa would have to tell us that no, even though it's true she is getting executed, and therefore you could effectively say that indirectly she was killed because of this shur, nevertheless, we would still say the owner of the shur is part of Kaifer. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different answer. La'olam the Rav of a Kotla, no, you could even go back to the original explanation that we said, suppose the shur was Reveya her and killed her in the process. So let's say she wasn't a willing participant at all. It was totally ba'onis on her part, but she died from her injuries. I was kakashalach mali kopla b'kanayim mali kopla b'reviya. So you were asking, of course, the owner should be chayav and kofer, because logically, what's the difference? How the animal killed her, as long as he killed her. The difference would be, we could say there still is a difference. And that would be the difference that the Braita wants to tell us. Keren kavanos elahazik. Hi, kavanos elahanos asmehu. The difference is, when it comes to Keren, the animal's purpose in goring with its Keren is to cause damage. Here, when it comes to Reveya, the animal's purpose is to have Hana. In that sense, it's not to kill. The killing is an incidental side effect of it. In that sense, it's more like Shane. In that sense, it's more like Shane than Keren. And when it comes to Shane, there's no Kofer. So there, yeah. Okay, the Maivli. These are, okay, what is the machloika, what's the underlying machloika between Abaya and Rava, about the two possibilities of explaining the Braisa? The regal should dorsa, gabatinik b'chotzer anizik. The machloika would be, what if an animal stepped, which is a case that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, if an animal stepped on a baby in the chotzer of the nizik? It has to be in the chotzer of the nizik, because again, that's where regal applies. Where La Abaya Mishalim Kofer, according to Abaya, the owner of the animal would pay Kofer. The animal didn't mean to cause Hezek. Doesn't matter. According to Abaya, that doesn't make a difference. That doesn't make a difference. Just like we said, Rav of Loi. as long as it's in Rishus HaNizik. Just like Abaye had said that Rava V'Loikot, like, you know why the owner of the Shur is Potter from Kofer, is because even though there was Revia, he didn't directly kill her. There was an indirect thing because she ended up getting executed by Beis Din, only because of the involvement of the Shur, but the Shur didn't directly do it, implying that according to Abaye, if the animal had killed her with the Revia, the owner would be Chayav Kofer, even though the animal was having Hanah from it, because Abaye does not hold of that distinction between whether the animal was having Hanah or not. Therefore, according to Abaye, in a case like that, Tosfos points out it's not really a case of Regel, it would be close to Shane, but we discussed the case of Regel or even the Masechta, and therefore the Gemara brings it. But for this purpose, Shane and Regel are on the same level. Anyway, according to Abaye, you'd pay Kofer. The Rava lo mishalem Kofer, whereas according to Rava, you would not pay Kofer, because again, according to Rava, you only pay Kofer in a case where the animal intended to cause havoc. And in a case like this, where the animal stepped on a baby, it didn't mean to cause any havoc.
Unless it kicked it.
No, kicked it would be different. That's all okay. Going back now to the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, the beginning of the sugya, where we asked whether the animal, whether the shoda iftidin is kosher for a korban or not. We said Rav said yes, and Shmuel said not, and we brought the braisa. We said the braisa maybe doesn't really prove anything one way or the other. So getting back to that, Tanya Kabasei de Rav, we learned a braisa that clearly says like Rav, shoda iftidin ene chayv misa v'kosher legabim izbeach, and such a shor is. Such a shur is kosher to be brought on the Mizbeach, because it's as if it was forced. And therefore, it still remains, it's honors to it, as Rav said at the beginning, therefore it's kosher as a korban. And that's the halacha. So the usual, as usual, the rule is that the halacha is like Rav in things of this or that. Mishnah says, shur shem nagach as adam umeth, if a shur gores a person and kills him, muad mishalim kofer, if the animal was muad, then the owner pays kofer. The tam potter mina kofer, whereas if the animal was tam, then you potter. The zevze chayov and misa. In either way, the animal is chayav misa, which of course is going to bring to the obvious question that the Gemara is going to ask. If it's supposed to be executed after the first time, how does it ever have a chance to become a mord anyway? That's what we're going to discuss at the beginning of the Gemara.
Are we saying it's the first time?
No, yeah. Well, the definition of tam is it's the first time or the second time, right? So if it's already supposed to be, if after it killed the person the first time, if it's supposed to be taken to Beis Din and given skilla, how does it ever have a chance to become a mord? So that's what we're going to discuss.
As you said, what, even the first time when he kills mord?
No. Mord has to be three times. We've shown Nagahu, Mitzmael Shulshem, the Apostle says, yeah. We did discuss, by the way, earlier in the Sechta, whether Rashi and Tosfos argued, can it be that maybe the first, you have two times and then the third time already it's a mord, or whether necessarily you need three times and then the fourth time it becomes a mord. So Tosfos over here says that we from the Gemara, what we're going to have in the Gemara, seems to clearly indicate that you need three times and then the fourth is a mord. Rashi learns differently. He learns that two and three, respectively. Instead of three and four, yeah. Continues the Mishnah, v'chein b'bein v'chein b'bach. The same thing would apply if the animal killed a young boy or a young girl, even a baby. To a large extent, what the Mishnah is doing over here is recapitulating what it says in the Pesukim. The Pesukim say that if the animal killed, then it's given skila, and oibein yugach, oibas yugach, and the same dinim apply, and then talks about an eved, which is the next thing the Mishnah is going to talk about. So Mephoshim talk a little bit about why the Mishnah needs to tell us these things. Usually the Mishnah doesn't need to tell us things that it says the favorish in the Pesukim. There's nuances, though, that we might not have realized from the Pesukim. For example, one thing is, when we mentioned that you're Chayav Kofer from Muad and Potter from Kofer for a Tam, one thing is, if you just read the Pesukim, you have, when by a Muad, I show you stuff over Gambol of Yomos, im Kofer Yushasolov, you would think maybe it's optional. If they didn't want to assess a Kofer, they can do that, and then the animal is Potter from Skila. If they don't feel it's right to assess a Kofer, then the animal has to be given Skila. Comes the Mishnah tells us that no, either way. So each clause of the Mishnah, there's Kedushim in it. When it comes to Bein Ubas, the Torah only tells us it by Mu'ah, the Mishnah is telling us it applies by Tam as well. Nogach Eved Oma, if the Shur gores an Eved or an Oma, an Eved Knani or Oma, or Shifla Knanis, that is, Noisin Shloshim Sloim, then the owner of the Shur has to pay the owner of the Eved 30 Sloim, Ben Shur Yopa Me'emano, Ben Shur Yopa El Adino Echad, regardless of the value of the Eved, whether the Eved is worth a huge amount or whether he's only worth one dinar. Either way, the amount is fixed, 30 shekels. I mentioned a while back an interesting thing that came across a while back that they found ancient documents from around the time the Torah was given, like old bills of sale and things like that indicate that was the common price of an Eved in those days, was 30 shekels. But then there's a different explanation. The Sforno gives a different explanation. He says we find in the Torah, in Parshas Erchin, the maximum erech for a woman is 30 shkalim. If she's when a woman between the age of 20 and 50, her erech is 30 shkalim. Since an Eved Ivri or an Omer Ivri is chayev in exactly the same mitzvah as women, they're not chayev in the mitzvah that men are, therefore the Torah established the same thing, 30 shkalim. So that's shkalim and shkalim are the same thing, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. If you're supposed to kill the animal once it was a tam already, the first time that it gored, how does it ever have a chance to become a mord? So Rabba says, I can tell you a case. Let's say we figured out that it would have killed three people, meaning three times it chased after people, they managed to get away. But we're able, we look at the situation based and evaluate the situation, and they realize, you know what, this sure was mad enough that if they hadn't gotten away in time, it would have killed them. Well, Rabashi disagrees. He says, no, just estimating like that can't be considered anything. The fact is, they got away. Ella, huh?
So according to Rabashi, no, it's not considered once. You have to actually...
He has to actually gore three times, yeah.
Or at least once.
Right. No, let's say the case then that it gravely endangered three people. Meaning, what happened? It gored. So again, Rashi says two and three. Tosfos says three and four, but whatever. Let's go with Rashi. It gored. The shur gored two people. They didn't die yet. They're still critically injured. Then it gored the third person. Now, after the shur gored the third person, he died, and so did the first two. Correcto. The animal is a mord now without having it went through the stage of time, but there was never a time after it gored the first two people when it would have been chayav mitzvah yet because the people were still alive. And again, according to Tosfos, what it would be is similar. It would be the idea that it gored three people and all of them are critically injured, and then afterwards all of them died. Now if you gore the fourth person, then you... Rav Zvidama, kagun shahorag shloisha behemoth. Rav Zvid says, here's another possibility. Suppose that the animal killed three animals. Then, and so now we would assume, well, so the question is, so how does that help? So what? Just because it's more for animals doesn't make it more for people. Actually, a couple of Mephoshim say, we discussed the other day, we had a Mishnah the other day where Rav Zvid discussed that we had on Mamad Zion, Rav Zvid had said that the Mishnah had told us that a Mu'ad La'adam, Ve'ene Mu'ad La'behema, that you can have a case where an animal is Mu'ad for a person and not for a behema. Based on what Rav Zvid is saying over here, shouldn't the Mishnah have told us the other way around? And therefore, that brings Tosfos to ask the question, maybe Rav Zvid changed his mind. Other Mephoshim say not necessarily, you can find a way to answer them. Anyway, okay. Well, that's Rav Zvid is arguing. Rav Zvid is arguing that.
Where does he get his shaders there?
Because when you get down to it, the Torah says is the im shur nagahu mitmel shilshim. The Torah just says it was a goring off from the last few days. Doesn't specifically say that it killed people.
So how do we get other men versus?
So that's the thing. So because the Torah says behemoth isha isha. So Rav Zvid can learn on the simple level that it means that it gored three animals and now after that it went and killed a person. The problem with that is, how can we say that? More the behemoth have a more law. We said all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, a person has mazel, a person has da'at to be able to escape in time, or a person has a malach looking out for them, or whatever the exact meaning of mazel was that we discussed then. Just because a behemoth is able to kill other behemoths doesn't necessarily mean it has the ability or the desire to kill people. So that doesn't work. Fine, Rav Shimi says, I'll give a different answer. Suppose that the animal first killed three goyim. You can't be mechayev misa for killing goyim, because throughout the section, the Torah always talks about re'ehu. Nevertheless, the animal's not going to be mechayev misa those first three times, but you know that it's a dangerous creature, and now it goes and kills a yid. So again, it became a mord without ever having been in a position to be executed at the time. Okay, again, mord loyed to Kavim, have a mord Israel. Fine, just because the animal is mord for Goyim doesn't mean necessarily it's mord for Jews. Again, you know, there's a distinction over there.
Now it's between Adam and Adam.
Okay, but still.
No, El. Even to him or even to Evid also makes a difference. He could be a more to a modern too.
Well, an Evid at least is a chassid Jew. I mean, he's chayiv in some mitzvahs. Yeah, but Elo Amr of Shimon Lakish Gun Sharak. No, but even if the animal gores an Evid, it's also chayiv mitzvah. Kesef Shloshim Shkolim Yitin Ladono, but it says in the pasuk, but still, the Asher Yisakol, the Asher still gets Tefillah in that case. Elo Amr of Shimon Lakish Gun Sharak Shloshim Bnei Adam Tshefa. Fine, let's take another example. Suppose that the first three people that it killed were all Tshefa. They all had already previously fatal illnesses or injuries or whatever, that they would have died in the next 12 months. In that case, you cannot make the shor chayiv mitzah for killing them, because you're only chayiv mitzah, the only chayiv mitzah if you kill a sholim, not a tshefa. But again, still, you know that it's a dangerous animal. Now it went and killed a fourth person, or a third person, according to Rashi, and yeah. Again, a mor l'tshefa, have a mor l'sholim. Fine, but the fact is, a tshefa and a sholim are still considered two different entities in halacha. If it becomes a mor for tshefas, does not necessarily mean that it'll be a mor as far as healthy people.
That's a little more surprising.
No, it's not to say the shor could tell the difference, but the fact is, halacha, just like the same way as we say in halacha, a person kills a tshefa, he's not chayiv mitzvah. The same logic, then, the animal killed tshefas, that doesn't make it, how can that be? Even if every time they came to Beis Din and gave Edrus in the whole nine yards, still, the fact is, these people are tshefa, and therefore, in that sense, they're considered as if they were, almost as if they were a different kind of entity. Ela, omer apok, dekot over orek la'agma, dekot over orek la'agma. So no, the Papa says, here's another. Very simple. Each time after the animal killed, and they gave Edus on it, it ran off into the meadows and they couldn't catch it. So now this keeps on happening. Eventually, after the third or fourth time or whatever, they finally catch it. Now, it's interesting, by the way. So the Gemara has seen, it seems, you know, the Gersa that we have in the Gemara in front of us seems that the Gemara has rejected each of the first few answers. Rav Zvid's answer didn't work. Rav Shimi's answer didn't work. Rav Shimon Lakish's answer didn't work. We're left only with Rav Papa. The Rambam, though, paskins all of them la'halacha, which means, Meforshim on the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah, and so forth, say that evidently the Rambam had a different gears over here. He didn't have the elos, and he understood these weren't questions, these were statements. For example, when Rav Zvid said that it gored three people, we learned that the Gemara was asking, Mord l'behema, have a Mord l'adam, how is it possible just because Mord for people, does that make it Mord for, just because Mord for animals, does it make it Mord for people? The Rambam apparently would learn it as a statement. Rav Zvid is saying that it killed three animals, and yes, Mord l'behema is in fact Mord l'adam, and therefore such a thing can work. And similarly with the other animals. And that's why he says that all of those are possible. So the only ones that only according to the Rambam, the only one that doesn't work is the original one we said Shamdu l'shlosh b'nei adam, where he chased after three people, but they managed to get away before anything happened. Here's another way which we can make it happen. Suppose that you have a bunch of groups of Edim involved. So we have as follows. A group of Edim come and say that this shor gored. So fine, then the shor is supposed to be taken to be given tefillah. Other Edim come and say, Imanu Hayisa. You say that on Sunday this shor gored in New York, but you were with us in California. Monday, the same thing happened. The Edim come and say, Gord in New York. These same other Edim come and say, you were with us in California. The third day, same thing. Now what happens if you have other Edim come and say to the Edim that are Mazim, a third or whatever, by now we're up to a fifth group of Edim or whatever, yeah. They come and say, what do you mean that you say that these guys were with you in California on those days? You guys were with us in Montreal on those days. So therefore, they're mazin men, and therefore that reestablishes the validity of the original edus. So there you have. So the animal could not have been executed after each of the first three things because each of them was muzam. But on the other hand, now that after all these zomei have established that after all these other now the zomei again, you have to remember the zomei are not saying we know for sure that this happened in New York. All they're saying is you guys cannot say they were with you in California because you were with us in Montreal. Whether it happened in New York, that's not our business. But the original, the credibility of the original Edom is reestablished, and therefore, yeah, now we have that, yeah, on Sunday, on Monday, and on Tuesday, this shor gored in New York. And therefore, it becomes a mord without having ever been in a position to be executed at the time.
The punishment for these Edom
is going to be then that they're going to each, what is it then?
For an Evid, 30.
For an Evid, it would be 30. For for a regular person, for a regular yid, what would it be? The pashto set up. I guess they'd have to pay the value of the ox, but I don't know.
We don't have a price tag.
Well,
the whole idea is giving it for sure, not for the
right. What the owner is being okay. So maybe they get malchus instead. I don't know. Actually, I guess when we learn malchus in a year and a half or so, but the shem, I guess we'll get into it. Okay. The question is, hamnicha ili yehudit torah be'inyan shaper. Fine, all this works out very nicely, this scenario that you just mentioned, if you say, which is a machlokas that we had earlier in the Masechta, when we say, according to the Yehuda, that the shor has to go on 3 days in succession, and there has to be separate eders for each one, it can't just be three all in one day, we said that it may be that you need 3 days in succession, the Yehuda Torah, in order to establish that this shor is dangerous. Because otherwise, if it just happened all on one day, okay, that one day the animal went crazy, it doesn't show that new nature. We had a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, yeah. So if you say, not Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, we had a machlokas in the Gemara over there, yeah. So if you say over there, if you say that the purpose of the 3 days is the Yehudit Torah, because without 3 days you can't prove that the shor itself is a dangerous animal now, shocker, then it works out nicely, because the fact is we do have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, there was Eidus. And now that retroactively we established that those Eidus were valid all the time, then good. But if the purpose of the 3 days is because otherwise the person can argue, the owner of the shur can argue, well, I didn't know it's a dangerous animal that I should be watching it. Then over here, Mema Omale, then why doesn't the owner have the ability to say over here, Loi Havi Yadina? Okay, but the fact of the matter is I didn't know. The fact is I knew that my shur did not gore those first two or three times. I knew those Edom are going to end up being contradicted, being Muzam. So therefore, I didn't pay any attention to their Eidus. Now, all of a sudden, you're coming on Tuesday and saying, but retroactively, all those Eidus were valid because there was Zomer. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So why do we make the animal immortal at that point? The answer is, you're going to Amri because you could have a case where the Eidim are saying, Kol emas dekoto tore gabe habikoi. Suppose that the original sets of Edim are saying that, or actually not the original sets of Edim, Rashi says Vidavka, it means the Edim that are Mazim, are saying that this owner was present there when the Negichas took place. So now he doesn't have the ability to say, well, I didn't know that the, regardless whether you knew they were going to be Muslim or not. It's not so simple, no, because if the guy himself was there, but there weren't any Edim, it still wouldn't become a Mu'ad. You still need Edim in order to come and testify to Beis Din. All that it accomplishes when the Mazimim are saying the guy was there, all that accomplishes is now he doesn't have the ability to say, but I didn't know all this time that this was going to end up being a valid aid. Because regardless, you were there and you knew about it. there is a bit of discussion over the fact that Rashi makes a point of saying that it was the Mazimim that said this Eidus, whereas the Ra'ah, another one of the Rishonim, says it was actually the original set of Eidim that said that. Why Rashi doesn't like that, why he has to say that it was the Mazimim, there's a bit of discussion about that. One idea being that if it was the original set of Eidim, not necessarily would we believe them because they're kind of Negei Abadavar. They have a vested interest in saying the guy was there in order that their Eidus cannot be so easily contradicted. So there's it. So anyway, the point is there's another example where you can have an animal can become chayev as a mu'ad without having ever been in a position to be executed as a town. Ravinama, here's another possibility. Makirin es bala shur, v'ein makirin es asher. Suppose that the Edim recognized whose shur it is, v'ein makirin es asher, but they didn't recognize the specific shur. Now, Rashi learns that it means that, again, according to Rashi, that it's two and three, respectively, the third time it becomes moored. Rashi learns that what happens is the first two times, the people saw, the Edom saw the shur goring. They knew who it belongs to. Afterwards, they couldn't pick out the particular shur from among all the shvarim the guy has. Later, the third time, they were finally able to recognize, you know what, this is, in fact, now we realize this is the same shur from the previous two times. The Rambam doesn't seem to mention that, and many Meforshim on the Rambam say that, in fact, he learned that you don't even need that. As long as they know that one of the Shvarim in this guy's herd, as long as they can give Eidus that three times the Shur from his herd has gored, then that's enough.
How can they be trusted the third time when they didn't know the first time it was?
Because they didn't. They came to Beis Din. They came to Beis Din. Can you recognize the Shur? No, but we know that it belongs to Pliny. And now, after the third time, you know what? Yeah, now you know what? Now that we see the Shur, it jogs our memory. Hey, the question is, my havel of a man. But fine, if you go that way, so what's the owner supposed to have done? Why should the animal be moored when he could argue, I didn't know until now that it's this particular shur? The answer is Mishum da Amrilei, because they could tell him, look, you know that Torah Nagsona Isvach Rib Korach. Now that we gave Eidos, you know that there's a dangerous show, that there's a show prone to goring in your herd. Therefore, Iboyalach Naturi Kulab Korach. Therefore, at this point, you become responsible for guarding your entire herd.
Even if you don't know which specific one.
So again, according to Rashi, it has to at least be that at the end, that one of the times the Eidim recognized the particular shirt. According to the Rambam, according to many Mephoshim on the Rambam, you don't even need that. Okay. The Mishnah said, the Mishnah said that either way, whether the animal is a tam or a mord, either way it's chayav mitzvah, it's chayav skila. So now the Gemara is going to discuss the matter of that when we say the ox is chayav mitzvah, it's actually osa b'hana. This sugya that we're going to have now, from here until the middle of the next Amud, is almost word for word. It's also b'hanah. We're going to talk about that. Not just for karbanos. No, you're not. The meat is also b'hanah. So now we're going to have a sugya which we had almost word for word in Kedushin a couple of months back. In Kedushin, we mentioned it in connection with, we were learning about Isurei Hanah, what you can and can't be in the Kaddish with. Here, we're talking about it in terms of Shoran Nisko, which is what we're dealing with here. I don't know about it. Given that the pasuk says that the shirt is given skila, any addition of veila here and veila after b'achila, automatically, of course, we know from that if it's stone, then that means it becomes a nevela, and a nevela you're not allowed to eat. So what is the pasuk adding with the word that its flesh may not be eaten? Why would you think you should be able to eat it after it was stone? The pasuk is coming to teach you a different din. If you were to shech this animal after the gemar din, after the case was decided, also b'achila, then it would still be also to eat. So therefore, in other words, the pasuk amounts to saying like this: sokol yisokol asbasaros. However, even if before it came to skila, if it was already chayiv misa, and you went ahead and shechted it, lo yachol asbasaros.
If you shechted it
after Gemar Din, after Beis Din decided this shor is chayiv skila,
yeah,
and you went and shechted it without and not didn't give it skila, you're still also to eat.
Why did we not?
That's the point. That's what the Torah is telling us by saying so. The law you're
Isn't that obvious?
No. Why should it be obvious? The fact is, you did shecht it. Maybe it should be multi.
After the
Gemar Din, you would think maybe. Okay, so you only know from that that it's also to eat. How do we know you're also not allowed to have any hanah from the meat, etc.? Talmud Loimaz, because the pasuk continues, Ubala Shor Noki. The pasuk continues, the owner of the shor is Noki. The simple meaning of Noki means innocent, which means, on a very simple level, it means, unlike with the shor Amud, where the Torah says, Gamba Olav Yumas, that the owner himself really ought to be Chayiv Misa B'nei Shemayim, here where it's a Tam is Noki, he's exempt from any further punishment. And later on, in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss those various other limudim that we learn from it, but here the Gemara is taking it in a different sense. The Maimash, where you get from Ubala Shor Noki, that you should be also Bahama, Shimon and Zoyma Omer, it's like a popular expression. When people say, so and so has gone out clean from his property, like you say in English, somebody was cleaned out, and he has no hanah from them. So, Bala Shor Noki, in other words, you're dashing, the owner of the shur is cleaned out as far as the shur. He's not able to have any hanah. So, now let's start analyzing. First of all, who says that you're telling me that what did the Braita tell us? That if after Gemar Din you shechted the animal, then you're not allowed to eat the meat. Who says that's what it means? Ema, maybe what it means is if you shechted it after Gemar Din, it would be mutter to eat. What are you doing with lo yachos sorry? Which lachorda again, like the Braita said, once it was given skila, of course you can't eat it. Why would you think otherwise? Maybe lahecha the sakle mitzko da osav hanahu. Maybe fakir. Maybe the pasuk by that is telling us not from a bala shor noki you're learning that it's osav hanahu. Rather, you're learning from lo yachos sorry that it's osav hanahu. How would that work? Kidder ababahu. Like what Rabbi Bo says, whenever the Torah says about anything that's also that you're not allowed to eat it, echad isra achila ve'echad isra hanava mashma. It means not only you're not allowed to eat it, it automatically includes that you're not allowed to have any hanava from it. An example of it is chometz on Pesach. The Torah says, lo ya'okol chometz, and it's not just you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to have
chometz.
Unless the Torah specifies for you, like it does by Nevela, where the Pasuk says, when it comes to Nevela, the Torah says, so based on Rav Bohu's limud, you would say it means Othmana, but the Pasuk continues that. You can give it to a ger toshav who lives in your city, which is that you're having hanav by giving it to him, or you can sell it to a full fledged goy, an oved avodah zara. So there we see the Torah is saying you're allowed to have a hanav specifically because the Torah spells it out. But if the Torah hadn't spelled it out, then by default you would be also hanav. Yeah. So therefore, by the same logic over here, when the Torah says lo ya'achol asara, that should already be that it's also b'hana, and therefore you do not. But that's all after it was given skila. Maybe taka before skila, you are allowed to shecht it, you are allowed to eat it. The answer is amri. So they answered, hani mili hecha de naskala isu achilu v'isarna mikra milo ya'achol. Yes, that Rabbi Bohu's rule holds good where we're learning the iser of eating it and the iser of hana from the word lo ya'achol, lo yisoichlu, or what have you. Aval ha'achol, the iser achilim yisoichlu yisoichlu nafka. Over here, where do we learn the fact that to begin with the animal is also to eat after skila? We learn from the word yisoichlu yisoichlu. So therefore, it's a different kind of thing. Right. So therefore, e sakudai the high lo ya'achol sort of isur hanahu. And if you were to argue then that lo ya'achol by itself means isur hanah, and you wouldn't need a bala shanaki for that, nichtiv rachmana lo ya'achol. Then the Torah shouldn't have said lo ya'achol sorry. The Torah says the Torah should have said lo ya'achol. You should not have any hanah from its flesh, and it doesn't. Inami, or another way the Torah could have phrased it. Another way that you could learn, or even if you want to argue that instead of fine, the Torah maybe you could argue that lo yahona is not a lashon hapasuk, lo yahachol is the normal way the Torah phrases it. Still, espisaroi lamali. Still, if you're going to argue that way, the Torah did not say the word espisaroi. It could have said, according to your argument that you want to argue that lo yahachol itself includes isra hana, and all that is talking only after the skila, the Torah did not have to use the word espisaroi. Lomali, so what would we need that for? It teaches us it means even if you made this animal into meat that otherwise would be mutter, the shaste, namely that you shefted and it became regular sarshwata, also it still remains awesome. So in other words, you can't. From loya achol, you have to learn that it means only itzrachila. From abala shonoki, we're going to learn itzrachila. And all of that, therefore, necessarily has to be talking about where skila wasn't done at all. You can't say that only when it was given skila does the Torah want to tell us that then it becomes also b'hana like Rabbi Bohu's rule, because either the Torah shouldn't have said lo ya'achol in that case at all, it should have clearly spelled out lo ya'achol, or it should have said lo ya'achol without saying es p'sara.
What is he saying?
So he's saying in other cases where the Torah said lo ya'achol without mentioning skila or anything like that. Yeah. Chela is another example where it's mutter b'hana, actually. What do you call it? Shkotim, Ramasim, Chela, Noser, Kegel, all kinds of things. You actually would be tummy from touching it, because if it was shechted, then no, I guess not. But if it was given skill, then yeah, it would be like any nevela, and a nevela is a cow. What? Yeah, you tell people in the mikveh and wait till evening. Okay, Maskif or Marzutra, fine. Marzutra asks on this, still, I don't understand. Ema hani mili hecha de bodak tzura v'shachadai. Maybe you could argue, you know what, still, you could still say that the Torah is making a distinction whether between different kinds of shchita. Maybe there is a certain kind of shchita which will remain, where it will remain osur, but a different kind where it won't. Namely, hecha the bodak tzur, suppose that somebody examined a rock, a person took a sharp rock and examined it to make sure that it can be used as a kosher shchita knife, the shachatvay, and then use that to shecht, the abdik ain't skila. Then you could argue that shechting the animal with a sharpened rock is sort of the equivalent of skila, which involves pelting with a stone. Maybe then the Torah is implying that it becomes author, that it becomes author by skila and author by no.
Because
you're using a rock. In other words, maybe what the Torah is saying is sakol yisakol asher, if the animal is given skila, then, well, if it's given regular skila, of course it's also Jesus. But even if it's given sort of a symbolic skila, namely it's shechted with a rock, then lo yachol asher, then you're not allowed to eat the meat. But of course, shechted with a knife, I'll have the shechted with a sack in life, then maybe not, maybe it would be multi-day. Amri, so the Chacham answered.
Everybody has to make a brach on the skila, on the shechita.
I don't know, maybe, maybe not, why not? You're still doing the mitzvah of shechita l'chora. No, fakir, that's what, yeah, if you use a rock, saying.
If it's kosher for sacking.
Right, maybe, okay, I don't know.
Apparently you can do it.
Fact
to the fact. You can use glass, you have a shot of glass, you use a rock as a shechita.
Fact of the matter is, well, with glass, there, you can use glass, actually, as long as it's charging. Well, because we're talking about rocks. Yeah. But by the way, I mean, mind you, David, what do you call it? In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions, actually, based on the travelogue of Elder Tadani, who was a character of his own in Jewish history, that based on his writings, if you shech without making a bracha, the shechita is not supposed to be spot. But b'di'evet, we don't read it. L'chatchila, you're supposed to make the bracha, but b'di'evet, if you did it without, then the shechita is not possible.
The actual shechita.
Yeah. Okay. So he actually wrote in his travelogue that if you don't make the bracha, the shechita is possible. So that's this Elder Dadani was a fascinating figure in Jewish history. He came from he showed up in North Africa at Kairouan, which in those days was a big Jewish center in Tunisia, nowadays, claiming to be from the Aseret HaShevatim, from someplace in the interior of Africa. He brought with him a whole story of how the Aseret HaShevatim are living over there and keeping mitzvahs, and like they don't know of the Mishnah and Gemara and whatnot, because those were all composed long after they went into Golos, but they still quote halachas directly from Yeshua, who learned from Moshe. He brought in a number of interesting halachas. One of them was he brought a halacha that if you shech without making a bracha, the shechita is possible. So the Rabbanim of Kairouan, the Kehillah of Kairouan, asked the Goyim of that time, Tzemach, do we believe this guy? So Rav Tzemach answered back, Lavdavka, everything the guy is saying is the absolute truth, but not necessarily is it all lies either. I mean, okay, the guy came, the guy according to his own words came a long way. Maybe he forgot some details. The Rambam, as far as I know, doesn't pass on it, but there's been a lot of discussion from then until now. Was the guy genuine? Was he a karoi? Was he, who knows what it was? Anyway, but a number of his halachas wind up in the later sforim of halacha. So the Elder Tadani, look him up sometime. Fascinating character. But anyway, so there is discussion. I mean, so at least okay, l'chatchila we should be choshish for his thing and make sure you make a bracha before shechting to be choshish for his shita. But if you didn't, you can't passel it because of it.
You wouldn't need to. If you use the skin, let's see, what do you?
The skin we're going to talk about soon. You're talking about the Sharon Nitzko, we're going to get to the skin. We're going to get to that. Wait. Okay. So the answer is Amri, so the answer is Otto Sakim Ksiva Bar Isa. Fine. Does the Torah specifically say anything about a knife? Even when the Torah does talk about shechting, doesn't specifically use the word knife. There's no reason to think that a knife should be any different halacha for this purpose than a stone. And in fact, we learn in a Mishnah in Cholin, Hashecha the Mago Yod, if somebody shechs using a hand sickle, used for harvesting wheat, b'tzur, or with a rock, or with a kana, or with a reed, shechita sekshera. So it's all the same thing. So there's no logical reason to think that the Torah would maybe say that the animal is also if you shechted it with a rock, and mutter if you shechted it with a knife. Fine, the bottom line is, we are saying that from Lo Yo'ochel of Psoroi, we're learning that even if you shechted the animal without, and you shechted it ahead of Beis Din giving it skila, it's still also b'achila, and it's still, and we learn from, and ultimately we can learn Issur Hanah from there as well, like Rabbi Bo's rule. Yakas Baal Asher Noki, Mamali, fine, what do we need the words of Baal Asher Noki for, if we know Issur Hanah from Lo Yo'ochel? The answer is, as you were just asking, l'hanach oroi. The Torah is also telling us you're also not allowed to have hanach from the skin. And you need a prophet for that, to sacrifice the Hamina, because otherwise you might have thought, sorry, who would also banor? Fine, meat is also banor. Aval ore nishri banor. Maybe the skin should be mutter banor. Kamash, come on, baal asher noki. Therefore, that's why the Torah has to tell us, oh, baal asher noki. What about olahanach tanoi? What about according to the artanoim, the maskile lahai baal asher noki with drosha achrina could be in lamema kamar? The Gemara is going to talk about soon that there was other opinions of tanoim that learn other things from baal asher noki. They have another dinim from it. So if they use Ubala Shonaki for those limudim, then according to them, how do we learn that Hanaf Orim and Olahu? Where do they learn that you're also to use the skin? The answer is Nakulume F Sore F Atopalub Sore. Because they learn from the F. The Torah says Vloya Ochol F Sore. And the F means F Atopalub Sore means something that is secondary to the flesh. Mind you, Ore, namely the skin. You can learn from that.
You would need the
S or not? Not necessarily. You could have said lawyer or of sorry. S for sorry. So that S comes in, yeah. And however, high Tana S loy dorish. However, the Tana of all Greiser who did not use that limud, who needed a Bala Shonaki and didn't learn it from S for sorry, S loy dorish. This Tana of this Greiser is one of those who does not douch an S in, who does not douch in the word S to teach us anything extra. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, famous thing, Shimon Ham Suni Vamil and Nechemya Ham Suni, how you Dorish call Essen Shabbat Torah, Shimon Ham Suni, Nechemya Ham Suni, used to douch in all the Essen in the Torah. Every time the Torah says S something, he would always douch in that the word S comes to teach us something extra. Yeah, we learned in Kedushin. We learned in Kedushin. But again, we had this whole sugi, we had almost verbatim in Kedushin. Kivin Shigil S Hashem, we also, Sachim the Lord, part of it was there. When he came to the pasuk Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, or what else is supposed to be added? What else? What other fear could be on the same level as Hashem? Okay, Tosfos points out there is the mitzvah of Moda Av Ve'Eim, and we learned from Kedushin that the Torah makes the Torah draws a certain comparison, right? But so Tosfos says he didn't want to say. It's one thing to say Ishi Moda Av Tira, fine, but to say that it should be an extra essay that you should fear your parents just as much as they, he didn't want to do that. So he stopped. He abandoned this whole concept of darshaning the word S. If you can't use it over here, then evidently you can't use it anywhere. Omer loy tamid, Rebbe, you call Essen shadarashta matahelein. So what's going to happen to all this work, all these years of work that you put into darshaning all the Essen? Omer lahem, kashem shkibal bitzkara ladrisha. Fine, just like I received a reward from the Eivishta for darshaning them up until now, kach kibal bitzkara ladrisha. So I will receive reward from the Eivishta for stopping. And Mephoshim say, the point is, he's saying, since after all, why am I stopping? Not because I gave up, not because I can't be bothered, but because of the covet of the Eivishta, because I can't believe there should be any murder that should be on the level of the murder of the Eivishta. Therefore, I'll get a fire from the Eivishta for the fact that I'm doing that L'shem Shemayim as well. The Maharal, by the way, has an interesting vote on it. He says, you see the importance of this, of amelus b'torah, of working hard in Torah, even if your maskana comes up and ends up being rejected. Because he's saying, Kashem Shikibaldi Karal Avirsha. I've been spending all this time darshaning all these hundreds of essin, and now I'm tossing it all away, but I still get tired for all the omo, all the work I put into it.
Is it because he has put all the work?
Because work in Torah itself is an important thing, regardless whether it comes out as something I'll leave it there.
It's an enormous amount of humility.
Yes. Ad Shabbat Rav Akiva Valimid, and this remained the case until Rav Akiva came and taught that yes, you can learn something from this. Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, L'Rabbis Tamar Chachamim. It comes to include that you have to have Murda for Tamar Chachamim on the same level, the Murda Rabba Kamur Shemayim, like it says in Terpi of it. And yes, that is. Which, by the way,
because Rav Akiva,
Shimon or Nechemya Hamsuni still retained his position. I don't agree with that. Very nice. You have to have murder for your Rebbe, not to murder Shemayim, though. Therefore, I cannot accept that. I won't douch in the Essen. Rebbe Akiva can douch in the Essen. So we have a machot. So therefore, the Tana of Ard Braita that mentioned that you have to learn Isser Hamel from Baal Hashon Noki holds like Shimon or Nechemya Hamsuni, whereas the other Tanoim who use a Baal Hashon Noki for other drushes, they will have to hold like Rebbe Akiva. They will have to hold like Rebbe Akiva that you can learn the Isser on the skin from Esvisara, and therefore they have a Baal Hashon Noki available for other drushes. There's, by the way, I mean, there's a lot of drushes and a lot of verklach and so on, this whole thing of Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, L'Rabbis Tamar Chachamim, including there's one short verse of Durs, Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, L'Rabbis Tamar Chachamim, we need to be told that Tamar Chachamim also have to have murder for the Eivishter.
Yeah,
Why do we have to be told that?
Because sometimes you have people who learn, for the sake of becoming a big common chacham, being well known and whatever, not l'shem shemayim. So yeah. They say also, which I think Sam Sofer says this, I don't remember, that Shimon HaMsuni didn't want to darshan that way because he figured maybe people are going to think I'm doing it out of self-interest. Yeah, that way people will respect me like they respect the Eishtet. Rabbi Akiva didn't need that. He was independently wealthy. People will respect him just because of that. Therefore, he could give such a drasha without that. Turn it up on. Obala Shonoki. So now we mentioned before that there are other Tanoim who learn from Obala Shonoki. They learn other dinim. So what are those? Here's one of them. Rabbi Yazim and Noki Mechatzikov. It comes to teach us that when the animal is a tam, the owner is potter from Chatzikov. We don't say, in other words, just like we say when the animal kills or injures another animal, that we say if it was a tam, you paid chati nezek, and if it was a mur, you paid nezek shalim. So by the same logic, you would think if the animal kills a person, if it's a tam, you should pay half of the koyfer, half of the value of the mazik or the nizik, as we discussed the other day, and if it was a mur, you pay the whole thing. No, we don't say that. Omolei Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says, what do you need a posik for that? Look, I mean, when it comes to a tam, all the payments are done out of the goof of the animal, as we said. As we discussed before, the chati nezek is always only up to the value of the animal. In fact, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's literally paid out of the animal because the nezek becomes a partner in it. If you were to make the owners have to pay half kofer, the owner would answer, you know what, look, the animal, bring the animal to Beis Din and I'll pay you out of it. But you can't, because being given skila, and it's also ban like we said before, so I got nothing to pay you. Why do we need a pasuk to even tell us that you should be pasuk from chati kofer? Amalei Rabbi Yezer. Is that what I am in your eyes that you think I'm talking to? In other words, like who do you think I am that I would not realize such an obvious statement? Should dini b'zesh chayiv nisa? You think I'm talking about a case where the ox is actually going to be chayiv nisa? Ain dini? No, I'm only talking about el shemis the automal pia ida echad ayal pi bailin. No, I'm talking about a case where the animal killed Taka, but there was only one aid, or only the owner himself saw it and then came in and admitted it in Beis Din. And then Taka, the owner, is not the animal is not Chayav Skila. In that case, that would be the case where, on the face of it, the Nizik should have the ability to argue, the Nizik's family should have the ability to argue, you know what, pay us Chati Kofer out of the value of the animal, just as if it had killed another animal, you would pay Chati Nezik out of it. No, that's where we need it. Bala Shonoki to tell us that he can say, I'm not chayiv in that. Question is, Afi Bailam, Moedim Knasu. What's the chiddush? What's the chiddush that he pulls from Koker? If the owner himself came in and admitted in Beis Din, that is a classic case of Moedim Knas. Coming and admitting in Beis Din a case that would otherwise have involved a Knas. And Moedim Knas is potter. So Rashi learns that the Knas includes actually the killing of the animal would be a Knas, and Chati Kofer would also be a Knas.
Some people believe not.
Well, Tosfos discusses that the not necessarily. In particular, can the killing of the animal be called a Knas. The Tosfos gives a different reason why, if the owner himself came to Beis Din, you wouldn't execute the shor on that basis. The reason is called Odom Korev Eitzel Mamonos. A person is considered a relative concerning his own possessions, therefore it's like he can't give Eidos on it, just like you can't give Eidos on your relatives. Anyway, the point is, again, if we said that it was a case of Eidech, or the owner himself, then what would you need a pasuk to tell us that he's potter from Kofer? The answer is Kasava Kofra Kafara. Yes, but we can answer that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the purpose of kofer, which we discussed the machlokes on this yesterday, the purpose of kofer is to be a kapara, is to be a kapara for the fact he should have been chayiv nisa, that his animal killed the person. Instead, the Torah is allowing him to pay money instead. Therefore, yes, you would think that even if there was only one aid, or he himself came in and admitted in base, then you would think there would still be reason enough that he needs kofer, and in this case, where the animal was tam chati kofer, comes to Bala Sharnaki and tells us that no.
And he's positive. So again,
if it was a case where the shur is getting executed, then it gets executed. Otherwise, nothing happens. Tanya'idach. Then we learn another braisa that has a similar discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer, that again, when Rabbi Akiva argues that how could you think you chay a kofer if the animal is being killed anyway, there's nothing to pay a kofer out of. The second braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer says, Akiva, or who do you think I am that I would think that I would be talking in a case like that when it's chayav nisa? No, the case I'm talking about is where the animal is chotzer from misa because, for example, the animal intended to kill another animal and by mistake it missed and killed a person. Or the mitzri, if mitzri is changed by the censor, it's supposed to be nachri, v'horeg Yisrael, or it meant to kill a goy and accidentally killed a Jew. Or it meant to kill a baby that's not viable, like a baby that was born premature or whatever, or a baby that's less than 30 days old, but we don't know if it's viable. And it ended up killing a fully grown baby. So again, those are cases where the animal is not chayav nisa, and therefore you need the pasuk to tell us that you're pasuk from kosher. Okay, so we have two different braisos that say that Rabbi Eliezer gave Rabbi Akiva two different answers. Hey, amalei b'reisha. You have to ask, which one came first? Which answer did Rabbi Eliezer give first?
Why do we know to know which one came first?
Well, one thing is because we want to know. As the Gemara is going to talk about, one of them is a stronger argument than the other. One of them is a stronger argument than the other because the case where there's Eidech or Rapi Bailim, as the Gemara just said, on the face of it, it's Moed B'Knas. So therefore, there's not so much of a Chiddush in it. The case of The case of Miskaven, where it intended to kill one person and ended up killing another, whatever, that's a bigger guy. So the question is, did Rabbi Eliezer give him the stronger proof first and then maybe the weaker one, or the other way around?
Therefore,
but that's, we want to know. The Gemara is going to mention soon that two different analogies for it, and one of them, the Chorashim says, in fact, teaches us there's two different ways of learning. So, Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rava, Miskaven Amalei B'Reisha. So Rav Kahana says in the name of Rava that he told him the one of Miskaven, which is the stronger argument first. Rav Tavyumi Mishmei de Rava, Mahemis Amalei B'Reisha. Whereas Rav Tavyumi says also in the name of Rava that he told him the weaker one first, the case where he killed Alpiyei Decha or Alpiyei Bayim. Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rava, Miskaven Amalei B'Reisha, because he figures, Moshal Atzayet Shesher the Dogim in Ayam. It's like when a fisherman is catching fish from the sea. Mashkach Rav Rabbi Shokil. If he catches big fish first, he takes them. Zutri Shokil. And if later on he finds a small one, he'll also take them
in the net.
Yeah. So the same way, even though Rabbi Eliezer had a stronger argument against Rabbi Akiva, nevertheless he can still afterwards bring in a weaker argument. Rav Tavyumi Mishmei the Rabbi Hamis Amalei B'Reisha. Whereas Rav Tavyumi says the other way around, he gave him the weaker argument first and then the stronger one. He says Moshal Atzayet Shesher the Dogim in Hayam. It's like a fisherman catching fish from the sea. Mashkach Zutri Shokel. If he starts out only finding small fish, he'll take them first because what if I don't end up finding any big fish? So the same way, he'll give you a weaker argument first because maybe I can't think of a stronger one. Mashkach Rav Ravi, but if he finds a bigger one, if he finds bigger fish, Shadi Zutri, then he'll throw back the smaller ones. I don't need them anymore. The Shako Rav Ravi and keep the bigger one. So the same way here. Rabbi Eliezer may have started off with a weaker argument because at first he didn't think of the stronger one. Later on, when he thought of the stronger one, then fine, I'll discard the other one and I'll tell you a stronger argument. So one of the Acharonim says on this, a verse that what the Gemara is trying to hint at is you have two different ways of learning for two different types of people. You have one type of person who's able to remember everything. Therefore, even if you have the deeper kilpulim and the everything first, fine, do those. But then also go do the small stuff as well. Get in as much as you can. As opposed to if you have a person who only has a limited amount they can remember, a limited amount they can comprehend, better let them focus on the big stuff, namely the actual practical halacha, and not so much on like the give and take in the Gemara and whatever, which is considered a smaller thing because less than a gay halacha. Because the fact of the matter is, it's that, you know, if you have the capability for both, fine. I mean, even from the discussion, from the Shakra Vitalia in the Gemara, many times you can learn halacha. In that sense, they're like the smaller things. But the bigger things are the actual practical halacha that you're going to need on a day-to-day basis. If you're the kind of person who can only comprehend a certain amount, better you should focus on the big stuff as much as possible. And that would be the case that Rav Tavyumi is saying. Whereas if you're capable of both, be like Rav Kahana is saying. Get the big, and then also go and get the small as well.
for him.